Good morning. How are you guys doing over there? This feels weird, so I'm going to just direct my greetings this morning to you. You guys can hang in. I'll be back just a minute, just talking with the youth group here. No, it's good to be back this week. Missed two big things last week. One, Bryce preached last Sunday, and if you were gone last Sunday like I was, that sermon is online, and it is worth your time. He did a fantastic job, and he always does when he fills in. We are blessed for the work he does with our teens, but we're also blessed for the work he does for the rest of the church, and I'm grateful for him. Also, if you weren't here last week, there was a special announcement read at the end of the service about Danny Burleson, who many of you know, but some of you may not. I've been here for 13 years now, and so Danny's been retired from full-time ministry for about 14 years, but he was the founding minister of this church, and he is about to start to work on a part-time basis with the Windsong Church, and so he's headed in that direction, and we made that announcement last week. I wanted to say something this week because I realize the phrase standing on the shoulder of giants is very appropriate for what I do here, that I know what I do is building on an amazing foundation of ministry and compassion and grace that Danny and Marianne and so many people at the beginning of this church have built. And so I have told Danny when I heard the announcement, I called him Sunday afternoon and I told him directly, but I want you all to know how grateful I am for who he is, all he's done since I've been here, all he did before I arrived. And that is the way of church, that we build off of the great efforts and the great legacy of those who come before us and are all around us. And that's what it takes to be a great church. It's not one person or a few people, but it is the efforts of the body of Christ, allowing the Spirit of God to work through us. And I am grateful for Danny Burleson, and I know they are going to be blessed by his great service, and we'll look forward to the times when he gets a chance to come back and bless us, he and Marianne. If you have your Bible open to Acts chapter 20, we're going to read a familiar verse this morning as we are in an Advent series celebrating the coming of Christ, looking forward to the coming again of Christ, and continuing to try to create lives and hearts that are open to the regular, continual coming of Christ in our presence. Acts 20:35, "In everything I did," Paul says, "I showed you that we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Out of curiosity, how many of you, at one point or another, have had a problem with a smartphone that you've owned? You've lost it. Raise your hands. You've lost it. It's been stolen. You had a screen cracked. It stopped working on you. We had a lot of people raise their hand. We've had a few of those problems in the Reynolds household through the years. Paige's first smartphone, iPhone 4, was stolen out of the stroller when she was at the River Market one day. Turned her back, had it in the stroller, looked back around, and it was gone. The phone we replaced that with, she dropped and it cracked the screen, and it was cracked for a really long time until we got that fixed, got a new screen, and within about a month, that one was cracked. Now, I don't want to brag, but I've never done anything like that. I did have one little hiccup with an iPhone 5. I'd had it for about a week, 10 days, and I loved it. It was a fantastic phone, and we went to the beach, and we were headed out to the beach, and so I put my phone into the pocket of my swimsuit, and then we went to the beach. Now, some of you are probably guessing, you know what happened, but you're probably way off on that. I walked into the ocean with the phone in my pocket, which actually you all guessed exactly what I did. And I'm standing there and the waves are coming in and I've been in the water for about 10 minutes. And I reach down and I feel my pocket and I feel something that shouldn't be in my pocket. And I have one of those moments where time just slows down. I go, oh no. And so I leave the water and I call myself all kinds of nasty names under my breath. And I do something you're not supposed to do. I try to turn it on. And that doesn't work. And so I do something that I hear might help. I get some dry rice and I put it in a bag with dry rice. And that's supposed to maybe pull out the moisture from the phone. And I was very impatient with that. And I took that out after a little while and try to turn it on again and it doesn't work. And so then I make my third mistake, something I've since learned you shouldn't do. It's like, well, if it won't work when I turn it on, maybe I should plug it in. Who knew that electricity coursing through salty, wet circuits of a phone wouldn't be good for it? I could actually hear crackling go on as soon as I plugged it in. And if you held the phone up to your ear, you could hear the ocean and the sound of money being swept out to sea. But the weirdest thing I had with a phone was the phone that I got to replace that phone, the ocean phone. It was another iPhone 5. And it worked great for a year, year and a half, I don't know how long, but over time, something weird started to happen. I had a hard time making a connection in the phone to recharge it. When it would charge, it would hold the charge just fine, but I would put the lightning connector into the slot. And sometimes it would register that there was a connection, it was being recharged, and sometimes it wouldn't, and I would fidget with it, and I would manipulate it, and I would try to put different angles of pressure, and for a while that would work. I could put just enough pressure in a different way, and it would register, okay, it's plugged in, and it would recharge and would hold the charge normally. But the longer that went on, the harder it was to make the connection, where the phone was actually registering that the lightning connector was in there. And eventually I realized, if I can't get this thing to regularly recharge, I'm going to have another dead phone on my hands. And so I took it to the Apple store, and I talked with an Apple genius. Now, you know, I'm not the one who gave them that name. They gave themselves that name. Wouldn't we all like to be able to nickname ourselves like that? And I talked with the Apple genius, and I don't mean to say it like that, but I told him what was going on, and he looked, and he said, well, I had something similar. I think what it is there's a connection inside that lightning port, and it's probably broken. And if that's the case, you've got a really expensive, you know, paperweight. There's nothing we can do, because that port is actually, you know, connected to the whole system, and so we can't just change that. We can't just fix that. You got to get a new phone. Okay, so I got a new phone. It's the phone I have now. After about a year, I started to have the same problem. So I decided I'm not going to go back to the genius this time. I'm going to go to another place, a repair shop. And I take it in to the repair shop. And the guy looks inside and he shines a light in there and he says, I think I see what the problem is. Give me just a moment. He went in the back, came back in about 30 seconds, and he says, it's charging just fine now. Really? I've got a phone that's been in a drawer for about a year and a half. I'm going to head home. I'm going to bring that back to you. I took back the iPhone 5 that had stopped charging, not the one in the water, but the next one. And he looked inside, and he said, yeah, I think it's the same thing. Let me go back in the back for a minute. And he went in the back, came back in about 30 seconds or a minute. He said, it's taking a charge now. I mean, you're going to have to charge it up, but this thing is working great. Here's what it was. Some of you may know what it is. Some of you don't. Over time, debris started to collect in the lightning port. Debris is a nicer way to say it. It was pocket lint. My lightning port was full of pocket lint. And at first, you could still put it down in there and it would make a connection, but over time, and the more stuff, lint, that got crammed in there, every time I shoved it down in there, it just compacted it even more. To where eventually there was so much junk that it couldn't make a connection. And what was worse, me and the genius had misdiagnosed the problem, and I abandoned a perfectly good phone, all because it was so crammed full of stuff that it couldn't recharge anymore. And I think that image of the phone is a pretty good image for a lot of us when it comes to our life with God. Sometimes the disconnection happens because we make a catastrophic mistake. Some big sin, some boneheaded decision we make, like walking into the ocean with your phone in your pocket. But a lot of us, the disconnection starts to build up over time as our lives become so crammed full of other stuff. That what was easy and natural at one time becomes strained and difficult. And we try a few different approaches and a few different angles, but we're neglecting to deal with the root of the problem. We struggle to receive what God has in store for us. So I want to suggest this morning something that may sound a little backward at first, and that is truly adopting the Christmas spirit and truly taking on the life of Christ requires that we make room to become better gift receivers this time of year. That's kind of opposite of where we normally drill down during the Christmas season. A lot of times we focus on what it means to be better gift givers, and that's appropriate too. And we benefit from that. And so Bryce highlighted this morning, every year we ask you to be gift givers, to give food, and we collect food for families in need at Christmas, which is a good thing, and you came through big time again this year. And every year we invite you into the process of being gift givers to kids at the Arkansas School for the Deaf. And every year, and increasingly so, those names and the lists that go with them go faster and faster. And we ask you to contribute so that the house parents, the people who work there, also get something. And those go really fast. And so, in fact, some of you are sneaky about it. And you wonder, why is it that when I go out, all the names are already gone? It's because some people have started calling the week before the names go out. They call the office and they say, hey, can I get a name? Last year I didn't get a name. Can you go ahead and set aside a name for me, a kid for me, a couple? So if you're wondering, how is it that every time I go out there to get a name, they're already gone before I get there? Some people are thinking ahead, they're calling ahead. And I love that spirit of generosity and giving. And I hope that's the kind of thing that we can carry with us, not just a day of the year or a season of the year, but every day of the year, that we would learn what it means to be truly generous, because there is so much selfishness around us, that so much of our life can be very self-serving, that there is so much around us that encourages us to just look out for you and yours. As long as me and mine are covered, we're good. And we already heard the words from Jesus that Paul quotes in Acts. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And I think it's a worthwhile question to ask. How would our world be different if we Christians acted like we really believe that? And how would we be different throughout the year, not just this season of the year, but throughout the year, if we acted like it really is a more blessed way to live when we give than just focus on receiving? But I think what the Christmas story reminds us is also this. Maybe we struggle with sustained giving because we struggle with sustained receiving. We were already reminded of the Gospel of John. Do you remember how the Gospel of John begins? It doesn't have a nativity story. It doesn't have any of the birth story showing up. John's gospel is a bigger cosmic view in mind. The prologue, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. We get this big cosmic view of Christ, who was before it all and with the Father in it all, when all things are created, and yet we get this image of the one who was before it all entering our world, what it's like to take on flesh. I want to pick up in verse 10 of John 1. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." That's an amazing description of God's overflowing gifts. The gift of God to become a child of God, an heir, an inheritor. As John will go on to tell us, it is the gift of life. Eternal life, life to the full, life of the new age. Or as you heard in verse 16, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. But did you hear the setup? Before he gets to the promises, and there are lots of promises that unfold throughout the Gospel of John. But before he gets to the promises, he also identifies one of the chief problems. Christ came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Now, we can understand why giving is a problem, why we struggle sometimes with generosity and sharing, but why is it that receiving can be a problem as well? Well, I can think of a few issues I struggle with sometimes. One can be summed up with a slight adjustment to the chorus of the Rolling Stones song, "You can't always get what you want." And the adjustment is, and we don't always want what we need, right? I mean, if receiving also included dictating, then we would be good. I love how William Willimon describes a familiar Christmas text from Isaiah 7:14. You know this text. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. A lot of us know that verse, but less familiar is the context of that verse. The prophet Isaiah has been pleading with King Ahaz to put his trust in God's promise to Israel rather than alliances with strong military powers like Syria. So a few verses earlier, Isaiah says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And here's what Willimon writes about that. He says, then the prophet tells the fearful king that God is going to give him a baby as a sign. A baby. Isn't that just like God, Willimon writes? Isn't that just like God, Ahaz must have thought? What Ahaz needed, with Assyria breathing down his neck, was a good army, not a baby. This is often the way God loves us, with gifts we thought we didn't need, which transform us into people we don't necessarily want to be. It's one of the biggest challenges with being a regular receiver of the gifts that God would give us. Because there's a temptation to approach it like a child approaches Christmas. We want to crawl in God's lap and tell him that we've been a good boy or girl and then give God the list of the things that we want. And we are absolutely invited in prayer to share what we want and what we long for with God. But prayer is not a Christmas wish list. And what's more, God doesn't give us the receipt after he's given us something and tell us to exchange it for something we would rather have if what he gives us doesn't fit. We can receive it or we can refuse it. We can grow into it or we can walk away from it. We can walk in life or we can stand still. In prayer and in practice, we're called to learn to think God's thoughts after him. We're asking that God would help us love what God loves and love who God loves and long for the things that God longs for. And in the process, then, we continually pray that we would open our hearts and our lives and our calendars, that we would remove all the stuff that's been crammed in there and is keeping us from making solid connection with God. And in its place would be God's will, God's longing, the things that God loves. Not what I want, Jesus prays, but what you want. And a second challenge is that receiving, especially the gift of God, requires continually acknowledging and accepting our need. Oscar Romero writes, "No one can celebrate a genuine Christmas without being truly poor. The self-sufficient, the proud, those who, because they have everything, look down on others, those who have no need even of God, for them, there will be no Christmas. Only the poor, the hungry, those who need someone to come on their behalf will have that someone. That someone is God, Emmanuel, God with us. Without poverty of spirit, there can be no abundance of God." Do we continually recognize that we are continually poor without what only God can offer? Christmas reminds us that we didn't think up the coming of Christ. We didn't initiate the coming of Christ. We could not prevent or propel the coming of Christ. Christmas is God's idea. Christmas is God's initiative. All we can do is admit our need and receive the coming Lord. Which gets to a third struggle that I certainly have. Receiving often leaves us indebted to the giver. And I don't like feeling indebted to anyone. Have you ever had this experience? You meet someone, especially sometime around the holiday period, and you get together and they say, "Oh, I got you a little something." And hopefully your first response is, "Oh, that is so thoughtful. Thank you." But what's your second response if you didn't get them anything? "Oh, no." Or maybe if you're more like me, "Oh, great. Now I've got to get you something. Oh, no, I didn't get you anything." Paige and her friends exchange and receive far more gifts around Christmas time than I do with any of my friends. And I'm usually really good with that, right? I'm not saying it's just a guy thing, but a lot of times guys have this sort of unspoken rule: I won't get you anything if you don't get me anything. And if you don't get me anything, then I won't feel obligated to get you anything. Here's the thing about the overabundant gifts of God. They are free. You can never purchase them. You can never earn them. And yet they're not exactly free. As we were reminded in our class this morning, we are perpetually indebted to the love of God. Now, it's a love that God doesn't ask us to pay back, but to pay forward. That's what Paul reminds us. We never exhaust our indebtedness to love toward one another. That's why we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're always called to continue to pour out that love that we have received from God. And so as we move forward during this Advent series and season, I want you to keep these truths in mind. It is absolutely more blessed to give than to receive. And I hope you adopt that deep into your life, where it's not just something you do once or twice or a few times over a season. It is someone that you are, that you become someone who is regularly generous, and not just with your money. Sometimes that can be the easiest thing to give, but with an ear, with time, with patience, with grace and mercy and forgiveness. But let me also remind you of this. You will never fully give, and you will never fully live unless you continually humble yourself to receive. If you have never received what God offers, if you've never given your life in baptism to receive the life that He gives, this is a good day. Whether you do it now or you come and talk about what that means, don't hesitate. Let's talk about what it means to receive the gift that God gives. But there is a call for all of us, because it's not just a one-time opening of our hearts and lives. It is daily making room for that connection with the God who empowers us to love those around us. Let's stand and sing together.